Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, a world-leading provider of healthcare solutions.
Hello, my name's Luke O'Neill and welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science. Now, every week I pick a topic in science that really fascinates me. Now, this week I've got a very important topic and it's in the news every day at the moment. Blood. The science of blood, and it's an absolute fascination. Now, everybody knows about blood. It's a key fluid, obviously. Even the ancients knew it was one of the key humours, as they were called. And we all remember it. You know, you'd have a nosebleed as a kid. What the hell is that? You know, and you couldn't stop your nosebleed, maybe. You cut yourself, and that this red stuff came out. Of course, it was a source of fear, and some people are still frightened of blood and have kind of an aversion to blood. It's not uncommon to not like the sight of blood, for instance. So it's a very important fluid. And of course, if you're a scientist, you wonder, what is blood? What's it made of? You know, can it go wrong? Can it go right? The biochemistry of blood, it's a vast area. And in fact, we call this area hematology. And it's a whole specialty, of course, within medicine as well. And we know a huge amount about blood. In fact, some of the very first proteins ever to be studied by biochemists were taken from blood. There's a protein called albumin, which is the biggest protein in blood, actually. It's the one that's most prominent in blood. It's a very important protein. That protein keeps your blood, I guess, having the right, what's called osmotic pressure. So albumin is a way to make sure the fluid has the right pressure. And it was one of the very first proteins ever to be studied. And early work on what proteins are and what they do were based on that protein from blood. So since then, we've learned a huge amount about what blood is for. It's a vital fluid, of course it is. Now, early on, they realized, actually, one of the things blood does is transport oxygen. And guess what? Every child might ask you, why is blood red? The reason why blood is red is because another protein called hemoglobin transports oxygen, and that's what gives blood its red colour. It's because it's a bit like rust, I suppose. Iron is used to bind oxygen, and of course when things go rusty, they go red. And the iron in blood is the reason why blood is red. And the function of that, as I say, is to transport oxygen. So when you breathe in through your lungs, the oxygen goes onto hemoglobin and then is transported around the body. The cell type, by the way, that transport the oxygen is called, they're called red blood cells, obviously enough because they're red. The scientific name for them is erythrocyte. So erythrocytes carry the oxygen around your body. Now, why do we need oxygen? Well, it turns out many things in your body need oxygen. When we extract energy from food, that requires oxygen, for example, in a thing called oxidation. So therefore, the blood has to travel all over your body to allow oxygen into your tissues, to allow those tissues to work properly, especially for energy purposes. And that's why we need oxygen, is to allow us to extract energy from food. And that was discovered very early on, that oxygen was being transported by blood. This is interesting as well. The reason why blood can be very red, like a bright red colour, is when it's full of oxygen. Now, when you use the oxygen up, the blood gets a bit darker because the oxygen now is being depleted from the blood. So arteries, which come from the heart, they're rich in oxygen and the blood is very red. Veins, on the other hand, go back up to the heart as part of circulation and therefore they're a little bit less red. So when you see arterial blood, it's really bright red, and often you'll see that sometimes in situ, in accidents and so on, and that's why it's red, because of carrying the oxygen. But apart from that, my special area, the other thing blood does is, it's where the immune system is. And the blood is full of white blood cells. Now again, this was realized early on with microscopes. People look down the microscope and they see these cells. They mainly see red blood cells, of course, the erythrocytes. And they've got a very interesting shape, like little frisbees, I guess, little discs. But they also see these cells that weren't red, and they're the white blood cells. And the question is, what did they do? And of course, over 100 years ago, they had no notion what they did, other than they would see them down the microscope. But they realised pretty quickly, these are the immune cells. So they'd see these white blood cells gather around where bacteria were, for example. And they must be attacking those bacteria. And eventually they realise these white blood cells are a very important part of the immune system. They're called leukocytes for white as well. And then it got more and more complicated. Guess what? There's probably 15 different types of leukocytes in your immune system. And all these different cell types are part of the immune army that fight infection. And again, remember, Evolution, very clever in a way, because this circulates all over your body. The troops, if you like, are coursing through your blood vessels. And let's say you have an injury in your hand, the blood vessels, the immune cells, leave the blood and go into the tissue to fight the germs that are in your hand if your hand is wounded. And again, that happens all the time in the immune system. And of course, with COVID, the immune system is there as well in your lungs and leaves the blood system and goes into the tissues to fight the virus, in this case of COVID-19. So again, it's very clever that the white blood cells are kind of transported through the blood system to be ready to pounce if there's an injury in a certain part of your body. And the other thing to say about this is those white blood cells, they actually begin in the bone marrow. Most people don't realise this. But the bone marrow, the stuff in your bones, the pinky stuff, that is where the immune system cells are made. And they're made in the bone marrow and then they go into the circulation, they go into the blood, and now they're transported all around the body. Now, a third thing you'll see in blood, which is very interesting as well and very important, are tiny little things that look like plates, little tiny plates. And as a result, they were called platelets. And again, they were seen very early on. The blood was full of these platelets. What did they do? Well, guess what? They will clot the blood. And clotting happens in blood as well. I'll be back to clotting a little bit later. So we have the main functions of blood. I'll give them to you. First of all, transport oxygen. That's the red blood cells. Secondly, the white blood cells are part of your immune system to fight infection. And thirdly, platelets are there to allow the blood to clot. And as I say, I'll come back to blood clotting a little bit later. So now we have the main functions of blood. Now, let's just dig in a bit deeper into the white blood cells, because that is my obsession. My lab, we work on cells called macrophages. They're white blood cells. They are derived from monocytes in the blood. And when the monocyte goes into the tissue to fight an infection, it becomes a macrophage, which means big eater. And we know a huge amount about these macrophages. We know everything about them. My lab, everybody in my lab works on macrophages. Their job is to fight infection. And their job, of course, is to gobble up bacteria. Macrophage means big eater. And then also they repair damage. So when the infection is beaten, I suppose, the macrophage does a repair job and repairs the injured tissue as well. Very important function, you can imagine. And our obsession with macrophages is because of their importance. And remember, sometimes these cells go crazy and go out of control, and then we get diseases like COVID-19. The immune cells are now in overdrive. And they're actually causing harm, and that's a very important part of that disease. But a second cell type I want to mention, which has been a massive obsession for immunologists. As I said, there's different types of white blood cells. But a second type is called a neutrophil. Now, why is it called a neutrophil, I bet you wonder. Well, the neutrophil, it was a neutral colour. It didn't really stain properly when people looked at blood down a microscope. It looked a bit wishy-washy, if you will. It became known as neutrophils. But guess what? Neutrophils are fantastic at fighting infection as well. They're very good at chewing up bacteria, for example. And a big breakthrough happened about 6-7 years ago now. And it just shows you how we're still learning things about everything in science, really, but especially about the immune system. When the neutrophil comes across a bacteria, do you know what it does? It sends out a net. Now, they're actually called nets. And the net captures the bacteria and then brings it inside the neutrophil. And then the neutrophil kills the bacteria. And that was only discovered a few years ago. Somebody would see these nets down a microscope and thought they were just sort of an artifact of the preparation. But it turns out the neutrophils are throwing nets out to capture bacteria and bring them in. And that was a recent discovery. So again, we're learning new things all the time about, I guess, every aspect of science, but especially about the immune system. And then the last white blood cell I want to talk about are called eosinophils. Now, there's another great name for you. They're called eosinophils because a dye called eosin was staining them. And the big question is, what did they do? Now, again, they were just observed down a microscope. And then they realized pretty quickly, you see eosinophils at sites of allergy. So if you have an allergic reaction, loads of eosinophils gather and they're the cause of an allergic reaction. So again, people interested in allergy and asthma and those sorts of diseases, they are obsessed with eosinophils. Now, let me move on now to platelets though, because that's become a really important thing with COVID. Platelets are involved in clotting. Now you can imagine, if you break the blood vessels and the blood is leaking out, you better stop that blood leaking. Otherwise, it'll leak out of your body and you'll die of losing all this blood. Built into the blood is a way to stop that. It allows the blood to clot. So clotting is a very important part. If you're injured, you want your blood to clot so as the blood doesn't all leak away. And again, that's a very complex sort of biochemical process. A thing called fibrin in blood and thrombin, they allow the clot to form, and the platelets are now embedded in the clot and they stop the blood really from, as I say, from running away. So clotting is a very important thing. We think clotting evolved for two reasons. One is to stop the blood, stop yourself bleeding to death if you're injured, of course. But secondly, it's a way to trap bacteria. So any infection will involve clotting. And the clotting is there to wall off the bacteria that are in that site. So the clots, if you like, trap the bacteria and stop the bacteria spreading in your body.
Where do you think you're going?
Again, let's say you infect your hand. The blood clots around that wound and stops the bacteria penetrating your body, because if it penetrates, it's going to start growing like crazy in your body and can kill you. So clotting is a very important part of the immune response, it turns out. But as ever, guess what? The clotting can become dangerous. And again, in COVID, you get lots of clots forming in your lungs. And now we're in big trouble because the blood stops flowing. And what does that mean? You can't breathe. The oxygen transport I mentioned earlier is now cut because the blood can't circulate into your lungs, into your tissues. And now your breathing is affected. No oxygen can get in. And that is a big cause of death in COVID-19. And in many infectious diseases, clotting can go out of control. And that's why clotting is so important for when we study COVID, because this clotting can actually do you harm. And then, of course, people have heard now one of the vaccines, the AstraZeneca vaccine, and Johnson & Johnson, sadly, is promoting clotting. And that's a weird thing. It's a very small, minor side effect. But for some reason, those vaccines and 1 in 100,000 people actually promotes clotting. And that can be a problem. But the great news there is we have a treatment to stop that now. So we've seen advances there. But clotting has become a huge focus for many aspects of infections. And of course, COVID-19 has made that all the more vivid. Now, the last thing I'm going to talk about in terms of diseases, I guess, or at least the role of the blood in this aspect, is there's a whole load of diseases where the blood goes weird outside infectious diseases. Anemia is one, and that means low iron. And that means you all kinds of problems with anemia because you can't transport iron to your tissues, and that's a very important area. Hemophilia is where you can't clot your blood properly. And that's because certain clotting factors are missing, and therefore people then can sadly have all these bleeding reactions. A great aspect of that was Queen Victoria. She had a gene defect that caused anemia, and her descendants, many of them, had anemia. The best example was in Russia, where there was a Russian, a son of Tsar Nicholas. His name was Tsaruk. He had horrible hemophilia. He kept bleeding, and that's where Rasputin came in. You may remember this guy Rasputin. He was the mad monk. He had a way, allegedly, to treat hemophilia, and he became famous in Russia because he could stop this horrible hemophilia. He didn't. He was like a charlatan. But again, that was an example of a disease that people were very, very interested in, this hemophilia disease, and a very important thing it was. Of course, we can now treat anemia hemophilia, because very often it's a deficiency in one of the clotting factors. It's just missing in people, and you can now give the people that clotting factor, factor 5 Leiden, for example, if you might have heard of that. You can give that now to people that will stop haemophilia, which is great, you know, because obviously it's the way to treat this bleeding disorder. Great advance there. And two more quick things, because there's so many things I can talk about here that is absolutely mind-blowing. Again, a recent discovery. Wait till you hear this. And again, it just sort of blew my mind in many ways. Remember I mentioned how there's erythrocytes and they're bringing oxygen all around the body and they transport oxygen to all the tissues. In humans, the erythrocytes, all they are really is a bag of hemoglobin. And the hemoglobin transports the oxygen around the body. And that means there's nothing else in them except for hemoglobin. And they've got rid of various parts just to be very efficient, right? One part they've got rid of in humans is a thing called mitochondria. Now, mitochondria is in every other cell in your body has mitochondria, because guess what? Mitochondria is the way that we extract energy from food. And you need mitochondria to make a thing called ATP. Now, ATP is the energy currency of life. It's the way we sort of deploy energy. Lots of things. When you move muscle, you're burning ATP. The mitochondria make the ATP, and it's a really important part of life. In humans, we don't have any mitochondria in our red blood cells. That's fine. But guess what? Birds do. And this is literally last month this discovery was made. So birds have red blood cells, just like us humans, that transport oxygen, but they've also got mitochondria. Now, one thing mitochondria can do is they can generate ATP, and we use that in various ways. But guess what? They can also generate heat. So the mitochondria can warm you up. This is the main way that birds keep themselves warm in the winter. Their red blood cells in their circulation, their mitochondria generate heat and they keep their body temperature up. That's why these birds you see in the snow, say, their blood is generating heat to keep them warm. And it's the red blood cells that are generating that heat. And that's an example of a recent discovery. The birds are using red blood cells in their blood to stay warm. Who knows what other discoveries we're going to make when it comes to our blood. So many aspects of blood. And I want to finish on one last thing. And this is going to be great for the sound effects. I'll get ready. Dracula.
I am Dracula.
Many cultures are obsessed with blood in various ways. And you may have heard the legend of Dracula. And in fact, there's lots of myths and legends about drinking blood and all kinds of things. And of course, vampirism was about drinking blood. Did you know the name Dracula may have come from Drukula? The Irish word Drukula. You would have heard of Bram Stoker wrote that. Drukula means bad blood. Isn't that interesting? So the name Dracula might mean bad blood. So loads of interesting things about blood. I hope you found that very interesting little nuggets of information. Thanks very much for listening. And of course, you can download my podcast every week and you can hear me on Pat Kenny on News Talk. Thank you very much.
Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Proudly sponsored by B. Braun, saluting our frontline heroes for their outstanding commitment to the health of the nation.